Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Well, here we are. It's Tuesday afternoon, and that must be that we are here at the Journey 8. Don't leave. We have a fabulous program today and a really cool guest. So we're going to move on since I started a little late, and I apologize for that. We're just going to move on until we're done. But before we get to the message and the second half of our program with our special guest, Madison Hertel, let's go through some announcements as we always do every week. And the first one is one that I have been talking to y'all about for a couple weeks, and that is a dear friend of mine, Jen Phipps Quisenberry, is slated to go to Mozambique, Africa on a missionary trip. This is a trip that she's been dreaming about all her life. And for those of you who might not know much about missionary calls, many times each person must pay their own trip fares out of their own pockets. The supporting organizations provide guides and arrangements there, but you gotta get yourself there and back. And so we have set up a fund, or she has set up a fund, to ask people to help with the expensive cost of getting to Africa. And she's got that on a GoFundMe website. For more information, you can go to my personal website, closerwalkwithyou.com, and find all the information about how to donate. If you can't donate money, please donate your prayers. This is a serious time in the world for people to be traveling, and we want to pray that she gets there and back. Yeah. Okay, number two, Bible trivia tournament. Yay! I finally got the hang of how to do this tournament, and I think we're ready to rock and roll. So we took the old one down that didn't work, and we will be loading midnight tonight the new tournament. Bible trivia goes like this. Every week on Tuesday at midnight, I'll be switching the questions. If you log in to play, you will have a chart that you can look at to see where you are in relationship to everyone else. The tournament goes 10 questions at a time. Whoever answers those questions correctly and the fastest, of course, is the winner for that week. And the tournament will go till the first Sunday of Advent, which is November 30th. So play on. And you'll find us at Purpose Games, PURPOSE games.com. Just look for the trivia game. Just look for it. There's only 500 of them there. Look for the Journey 8 and you'll find us. And speaking of Advent, the last message, my fifth Christmas album piece is on track and on time. Looks like we'll have 12 songs and a very special dedication this year. I always dedicate my Christmas album to someone. And it looks like that will be available November 20th. We're not going to do hard copies. We are strictly digital now. We're in the 21st century. So you'll find us on iTunes and all those various and sundry sites. Or my Reverb Nation page will have the Christmas album on it. Okay, so that being said, I want y'all to have a chance to hear this young lady once before we start the message, so you can get an idea of the wonderful voice she has. So we're going to play one of her songs, and then we're going to go right into the message from there. So, Mr. Engineer, can you crank us up?
I need a place where I can go, where I can whisper what I know, where I can whisper who I like and where I go to see them. I need a place where I can hide, where no one sees my life inside, where I can make my plans and write them down so I can read them. A place where I can
Okay, so I'm a little jealous, but that's all right. What a wonderful voice, and she has a phenomenal career ahead of her. So we'll be talking to her in the second half of the show, and I think you'll find her quite refreshing. So we're going to jump into the message, and then we'll get to Madison on the phone. So here. We are in part two of a series called Parting the Waters, and today we're going to be speaking, or I'm going to be speaking about Jesus and a boat and a storm. So before I read the scripture today, I'm going to do what I do every week before reading the scripture. And here we go. Those of you who listen to me on a regular basis know what's coming. All right. All bus drivers, pilots, crane operators, train engineers, 18-wheelers, and anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat, please wait until you get home before looking up the scripture. All the rest of you, crack open your Bibles, Kindles, iPads, and smartphones too. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35 through 41. Now, to give you a little setting, Jesus has spent the whole day teaching parables to the people on the beach of the Sea of Galilee, and evening time is coming. So we're going to pick it up from there, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Rabbi, don't you care if we drown?" Well, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet. Be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He turned to his disciples, looked at them and said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Yeah, who was he? So, in our text today, we find this simple verse. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said, "Rabbi, don't you care if we drown?" I mean, really, Jesus was sleeping? To understand how bizarre this must have seemed to the disciples, let's do a little visualization, shall we? Okay, so here we are. We're in the boat. They're halfway across the lake. And here comes this storm, and I mean storm. It's beating against the boat, and the boat's swamping, and that little ship is not going to take this very long. In other words, they're beginning to sink. They're bailing as fast as they can. but more water is coming in than going out. And it's obvious that if the storm doesn't die down, they're going to perish. Many of the disciples are seasoned fishermen. They know this Sea of Galilee, and they know that there's been boats that have gone before and what it means. They've lost many a friend to this sea. So now we're going to scan over to the stern of the boat, and here's Jesus asleep. Or at least they think he's asleep. And they're thinking to themselves, how can he do that? We're dying here. What are you sleeping for? Well, two reasons. Jesus knows who he is, and he knows where he's going. So who is Jesus? Well, he's the Son of God. And where is he going? He's on his way to the cross in a very short time. So Jesus was not going to die until he fulfilled his destiny. He knew that. And because of those two facts, that boat was not going to go down as long as Jesus was in it. Unfortunately, the disciples didn't know that. They were frustrated because they weren't thinking the same way as Jesus. And boy, oh boy, we have major communications gap. As far as they were concerned, he was a great teacher. He was a powerful healer. He was a good friend. But that's about it. Hello, anybody home? After all this time, still you haven't figured out who he is? So now here they are in the midst of a dangerous storm. They've been bailing for hours. And to no avail, they're going down. They're going to die. And here's Jesus sleeping like the baby. So when they wake him up and say, Rabbi, don't you care? You know, Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind and says, peace, be still. And woof, all of a sudden, everything's just as peaceful as can be. Now, they've watched him do miracles and healings and all kinds of things. And do you think for one moment they figured out how he did this? No, they turn to each other and say, well, who is this guy? Who are you? Whose idea was it to go to the other side? Jesus. You think he didn't know a storm was going to come up? So, you know, I'm wondering, why would he do this? Why would he put his disciples in harm's way and then go to sleep? Well, here's my take on it. I think he wanted to see what they would do. This was a test, kind of a multiple choice test. You know, here's three choices they had. They could bail and bail until they sank. They could remember what Jesus had done before and ask him to perform a miracle. He just got done talking about many a parable, healing sick people, feeding them, and yet they didn't think about just asking him, can you save us? Or they could do what they did, which is, what the heck are you sleeping for? Don't you care if we drown? So, as human as they are, their first response to being under stress is to complain, not to ask for help, not to look for him to help fix their problems, just complain. I think they flunked the test. In fact, I'm pretty sure they flunked. And I think the lesson Jesus was teaching them, and it's kind of exposure therapy, you know, is, first of all, if you're going to follow Jesus, they were going to need more faith than they had, because obviously they just displayed a tad bit not enough faith. The second is, when he is finished with them, when they graduate from the Jesus High School of Discipleship, they would be able to face the worst of storms with a peace the world couldn't understand. Well, they didn't quite get there, so Jesus knows he's got some work to do yet. Later in his ministry, he tells them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." You know, John 14:27, don't be afraid. You know, move forward. You know, on the lake that night, Jesus was giving them an object lesson, basically. Storm was at its worst. Jesus stood up, peace be still, and there was peace. The object? Yeah, listen to me. I have it. You know, I've got it all under control. He was basically teaching them that when they reached the level of faith that he wanted them to have, they too would have this kind of calm demeanor. You know, Jesus teaches us that kind of peace by leading us through our storms 2,000 years later. You know, one man, this is a piece of information. I like this guy. His name is Otto Debilius. And he said, "Jesus does not lead his children around hardships, but leads them straight through hardships. And he leads and amidst the hardship, he is nearer to us than ever before." You know, sometimes we get into a tight spot and we say, "Where's Jesus? You know, what's going on? You know, I can't, where is he?" Well, he's right next to you and sometimes leading you and sometimes picking you up. You just don't seem to see it. I know I get there. So that, of course, is the point. Our circumstances may not change, but when we're led by Jesus, our attitude changes. The main thing that changes when we've gone through those storms is the realization that Jesus is leading us. The attitude changes. You know? You don't have a clue who he is. And I'm not saying you personally, you Church Universal, if you don't figure out that he is the Son of God. And there is nothing too big or too small for you to go to him for. But don't go to him as the disciples and say, "Don't you care that we're drowning?" Well, of course he cares. So you go to him and say, "Jesus, I'm drowning, help me." Reach out your hand, lambano, reach for him. You know, that Greek word that I keep coming back to, lambano, and it means reach out and grab. Don't sit there passively, you know. And I can see these disciples, I can see them going over to Jesus and shaking him up and saying, "Whoa," and their faith was not too strong that day. So, you know, you see too often we look at great heroes and heroines of faith and we get the wrong lesson. For instance, you know, we think these people are oh so brave and they, you know, are oof, supermen, superwomen. I mean, look at Moses standing at the edge of the Red Sea. Here comes the Egyptian army behind him. He knows what they want to do. They want to wipe him out. So he takes his staff and he slams it on the water and the waters part. Yeah, that's really cool. David, little old David, shepherd boy, swings his sling and around he goes and drops a giant, trained warrior, kills him with a stone. And Shadrach, my favorite story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, telling the king, "Yeah, we're not bowing down to your gold idol." Into the fiery furnace they go. Yeah, early form of cremation, so the king thought. Yeah, I'd love to be able to go back to one of these stories and live it live, knowing the end, as we do, from the beginning. That would be great, because As I said, we know how the story turns out. But they didn't. Yet they had the faith to play it out. You know? Who in their right minds, or even in their left minds, would walk into a fiery furnace? I mean, most of us would say, well, that's really crazy. But these three guys look at the king and basically give him the raspberry and say, go ahead, put us in there. Your God is not as strong as our God. And we know that. So, you know, the Bible records this story about the disciples and their fears and failures, not to make them look oh so bad, but to make them look like us. Yeah. You know, the fact that the storms come in our lives, and Jesus himself, you know, kind of forewarned them. He said, I told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Not maybe, not might, not could. You will have trouble. There will be storms. There are going to be times of trouble, heartache, loss, disappointment, confusion, you name it. But in the midst of these storms, Jesus says, we can have peace. You know, in this world, you will have trouble. I love it. I don't love having trouble, but, you know, it's just amazing to me that these 12 men who spend 24/7 for 3 years with Jesus, I'm not sure they ever get it. Right down to the day he's betrayed and is hung on the cross. I don't think they get it. And, you know, I look as a pastor and as a friend out to those that I know and those I reach, and I say, you know, you gotta have the faith to weather the storm and to trust that whatever's going on is going on and Jesus knows about it. He knows. He knows every breath you take. Sounds like a 80s record, every breath you take. You know, you can be the best Christians this world has ever known. You know, we can do great works of service and accomplish powerful works of ministry, touch millions of people, woohoo, but it wouldn't matter one bit. It will not save us on a personal basis from suffering. But take heart, Jesus will lead us through it. And I'm going to stop here for a second and tell you, I don't know how to do this. Mr. Engineer, help me. I'm going to try and raise our guest, but I don't want to put her phone over the airway. So I can. Where does it go? I just type and it will show up. Where the cursor is blinking. I don't know. Whoop, one moment. Hang on with me, folks. I'm trying. I don't even see where my cursor is. One moment. Whoop. Well, hang on. Is it in the box? There it is. Here it is. I gotcha. Wow, I'm learning something new, folks. It's great. Instant message is what I want, right? Here we go. I'm typing now. Folks, hold on. I'm learning something. And you know what? I have the faith that I'm going to do this right. Did you get it, Mr. Engineer? He got it. Wow. See? If you have the faith, it'll happen. So, Madison, you're going to be getting a phone call in a second here. So, wow. You know, as computer literate as I am, it never ceases to amaze me, the new things I learn. Anyway, so, end of story. You know, it's hard when you are suffering, when you are grieving, when you are angry, when you feel lost, to be all joyous and say, it's okay. I am a happy person. And I would never tell you that that should be the case. What I do tell all my friends and loved ones that listen to me is have the faith and keep it, and you'll get through it. It'll take a little time, but you'll get through it. All right, so I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a young lady on the phone by the name of Madison Hertel. Are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Madison. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Can you tell me your age? Because I might have been lying to everybody.
I'm 13 years old, but I'm turning 14 in a month.
Woo-hoo! I could lie. I said you were 15. That's even more phenomenal. I mean, I've been singing for 40 years, semi-professional, and don't come close to you. You're amazing. So we played.
Thank you.
Did you hear the first song we played? Did you hear it?
I did. I've been listening for a little while.
You had to go through the sermon and everything, but we got here.
Yes.
So tell me, what age were you when you first figured out that you had a voice?
I mean, I've been taking theater classes and voice lessons for a very, very long time. I started theater when I was 5 or 6. And I've been taking voice lessons since I was, I think, maybe 7 or 8, yeah.
Wow. Wowie kazowie. So what is, if you, you know, if this was the perfect world and every dream came true, what would be your path?
I would make it onto Broadway and be able to pay my rent with that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, don't give up your day job.
Yeah.
So do you have any plans of actually recording?
I'm sorry?
Do you have any plans to record any of your music? As in albums, CDs, digital?
Not really. I mean, I'm not really into the path of like pop star or anything, or a singer-songwriter path. My passion is musical theater, and
wow.
I'll hope to continue to do that.
Well, you know what I'd like to ask you? When you come
yes.
back, which I hope you will come back, I would like to hear, I think it'd be interesting, I think the folks out there would love it, if we could make an arrangement, and I'd have to rely on Mr. Engineer, the magic engineer, to help us to where you could sing something Broadway live over the air. You know, MP3 music is great, but live is really neat.
Yeah, that'd be very fun.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out how to do that. You know, I broadcast from my studio at home. We converted the garage into a studio for me because I whined a lot. And I know that if I whine a lot, I get it. Eventually, because they get tired of listening to me cry. So, you know, we got all the fancy microphones, but I think through Skype we could do it too. Well, I don't know. We'll figure it out, though. So
yes, for sure.
So the second song we're going to play here in a minute, On the Willows.
Yeah.
Tell me, that's from
that's
which?
Spell.
Yes. And why did you pick that one?
I was recently in it. I was at Interlochen Center for the Arts for the 6 weeks Intermediate Musical Theater Production Program. And that was my second summer in that program and my third year at Interlochen. But this summer we did the show Godspell by Stephen Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a fun show. And it was fun for me because I got to learn how to play the quote, bad guy, you know, like, even though I played Judas Iscariot. And it was also interesting to learn his reasoning and his journey on how he started as this loyal disciple, but then turned into this betrayer. So it was very fun. And this is Judas's song right before he turns Jesus into the high chief.
And, you know, the neat thing about Godspell, and I've seen it several times, is that even people who are not churched or religious, shall we say, enjoy that play. It kind of hits everybody. It hits everybody at whatever place they're at.
For sure. And I think Godspell, for sure, is definitely, it is a show more about, for me, and I mean, like, I've read things that Stephen Schwartz has written about Godspell, and he said that he was envisioning the show to be more about love than anything else, and I think that's really important.
Yes. Well, you know, I think we're going to get ready here to cue it up. I think that music, and I did a series of messages, music and worship are one and the same. So, you know.
Yes, definitely.
If you sing from your heart, which I do, I don't know how well, but I'm a mezzo soprano, so I can flip either way. When you sing from your heart, it's bound to be good, you know, no matter what song you sing. All right, so Mr. Engineer tells us we're ready. Let's listen to On the Willows. Make sure I didn't lose you. All right, so you're going into ninth grade, right?
Yes.
Woo! High school.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah. So when you sing, this is an inside thing, I guess, for those of us who sing. Do you? Are there a specific mental place that you go when you sing?
I mean, it's different for every song, but what I've learned from my musical education is to, depending on what song you're singing, you have to personalize it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for me, I don't sing a song thinking, okay, now I'm pretending to be this person and they're singing about this. I say, I'm singing this song and I know what these words mean, but what they feel for me on the inside is, I mean, possibly something else.
Right. Have you ever cried when you sang a song?
Yes. I cried a lot in Godspell because a very good friend of mine was playing Jesus. And so when he was crucified, it kind of hit me, I mean, on a personal level. So.
And I'm sure you stopped to think about how the real family felt 2,000 years ago watching that unfold.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, we sit back, general term, listen to people with talent that sing and say, oh, I wish I could sing like that. And I think a lot of times, and even my friends with the music that I do will say, oh, I wish I could sing like that. And they have no concept of the work it takes in the years. You know, you're very young, but you're very good. And I always say, what is she going to be like 10 years from now? You know? What's she?
Yeah.
You know, another Celine Dion, another Barbra Streisand, you know. Who knows? You know, God knows, but we don't. You know, and I just encourage you to continue the path you're going. I think you'll be just fine.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think you're always growing. And everything you do, there's a level of education to it that you can take from it. So, I mean, I don't think, I mean, unless you just completely stop working, I don't think an artist ever just plateaus.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Well, like I had said earlier, I've been singing for 40 years, some of that in the shower where only I can hear me, but a lot of it in a public kind of way. And you almost have to, if you're an artist and you are driven, you almost have to push yourself to that next level because you want to. You want to, you know, do better.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so what's on the horizon for you? What's, I know school's starting, so how do you jiggle and juggle both of them?
This year is going to be a little bit different for me. I was just recently cast in two professional equity theater shows. My first one, I'm doing Secret Garden down in Kalamazoo, Michigan, mm-hmm. at Farmers Alley Theater. And then right after that, I go down to Munster, Indiana, which is part of the Chicago Area Theater District, where I'm doing A Christmas Memory at Theater at the Center. So I won't be in school for a long time, but I'll be doing online school. And it'll be a lot, but I think I'm ready, and I think it's the right decision, hopefully.
Well, you got to follow your heart, you know?
Yes.
And that's the big key, you know, everybody always says, I wish I could have, you know, and at my age, I look back and say, I wish I didn't have, you know, I went to school and became the responsible person with the regular 8-to-5 job. And when I went back to seminary, you were probably a toddler in the late 1990s or not even born yet, probably. You know, I never faced what I really wanted to do until I retired, you know? And I strongly encourage you not to wait that long, you know, because I would love to travel and do dinner theater or Christian concerts, but, you know, we missed that opportunity, so I became a preacher instead. But I encourage you. I hope that you come back and we try and figure out a way to make the system work to where people can hear you live over the over the internet radio, which, by the way, if you didn't know, this particular show or program gets syndicated. So there will be people in Hong Kong and Australia and Canada that will be able to hear the archives. This gets archived, and anyone can pull it up 24/7 and listen to it. So who knows who will be listening to your voice?
Yeah, I mean, everything for me is like that. Like, no matter what I'm doing, just singing the national anthem for a baseball game, you never know who's there, and you never know what new opportunities something is going to bring.
That's right. Your voice speaks volumes to the goodness in the children or young adults today. You know, sometimes I hear, especially as a pastor, preacher, all the wrong things, you know, that young people are doing today. And it's refreshing and exhilarating to hear that, yeah, there are some young people that are following the right path too. Not that
you're... Yeah, I mean, I try to sing as much as I can. And, I mean, I really like singing for, I mean, just for fun, and then also singing for other people. I mean, charity work, basically. I sing a lot for the Coast Guard here in Traverse City, and a lot for, like, our sporting events and the Father Fred Foundation and Rotary Charities. And it's just, it's so much fun, and it's just, I love it. I mean, I do it because I love it, but then I also love helping others and servicing others. So, I mean, I try to sing as much as I can.
Well, and, you know, I had told your Aunt Terry when I heard you, she is the connection, that most of the people I have on the show, whether they're country music or what their connection is in the secular world, that I want to hear that they're doing something for the people in general. What is your connection? You know, we had a young lady on a month or so ago who belonged to a group that anti-bullying group. And, you know, so it's refreshing to know that you have that side to you already, you know, to give back. You know, you get a gift, you give it back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really important. And, I mean, for me, it's, I mean, I sing a lot of national anthem stuff for different places in Traverse City. And it's just really rewarding when a veteran says, great job.
Yeah, I can imagine. I don't think I have a copy. I'll have to ask your mom to send me a copy of one of your national anthem versions to hear it. And, you know, like I said, we're scheduling out as far as October and November right now. And, of course, that means Christmas season. So I hope that we can connect and you can
for sure
provide some Christmas spirit. Before we let you go and we hear your last song, I have one more question for you. What college are you planning on going to?
Oh, gosh. That's a funny question. I have thought about a lot of different colleges for performing arts, and there are a few that are high up there. For me, Carnegie Mellon University would be one of my top choices. University of Michigan, Elon University, NYU, and I think that those are my top, but I mean,
well, you know,
I'll go wherever life takes me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm a graduate of U of M, so that was a good choice. And you mentioned Elon?
Yes, Elon University.
In case you didn't know, where I live in Gibsonville is 2 miles from, we are the bedroom community of Elon University.
Oh, it's fun.
Within 2 miles of Elon. So a lot of the things that I do in the community are connected to Elon. And they have a fabulous school of music. I've already been there for some classes that I just took because I wanted to take them. They do a wonderful Christmas concert, just beautiful Christmas. So you might look at them and all the things you've chose, all the universities and colleges, prime real estate. So buckle down now, and you'll get to wherever you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, if you work hard, you can go anywhere. That's my kind of mantra.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All righty. Well, I'm going to have Doug cue up the last song, Secret Garden. But before we do that, and before he tells me it's ready, I just want to thank you for coming on board and listening to me, enduring my message while we're waiting for you. And I really look forward to following you and seeing you again.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're welcome. And if we can do anything for you, if you keep... keep me informed of your schedule. We have advertisement on our page. Be glad to push the word for you.
Yeah, I have a website that has all of the dates and links to purchase the tickets. It's just www.madisonhotel.com.
All right. I was going to ask you that, and I'm glad you reminded me. So we'll post that on both my page and here at the BBS page. And we'll get you back for sure and figure out how to do a live song for the Christmas holidays. So here we go with The Secret Garden, and thank you so much, Madison.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
You give a living thing a little chance to grow. That's how you will know if she is awake, she'll grow. So grow to greet the morning, free from ground below. When a thing is wicked, has a will to grow and grow. Come a mild day, come a warm rain, come a snowdrop, a coming up.
So that was Madison Hertel, and 14 years old. Wow. At 14, I was misbehaving. So isn't it nice to know that there are kids out there today that got their head on straight? And we are going to follow her, do some cyber stalking kind of thing, in a good way. And we're going to see how it unfolds for her, and definitely have her back for the Christmas holidays. And I want to take a minute before we shut down here and say I have a very close relationship with a dear pastor. In fact, is going to be my permanent pastor here shortly. And I just am excited about the things we're going to be doing on another level. I just want to stretch myself as far as I'll go, like a rubber band. And I'm hoping that we can reach more of you more often. And have some programs that you really enjoy. Well, and I'm going to encourage you, and I haven't done much of that in the past because I am still kind of new at this broadcasting thing, you know. But there is a phone number that you can dial into and talk to me if you have a question about either the message of the day or a question for the guests that are on that day. I just haven't had a lot of experience juggling, so we're going to delve into that in the coming weeks and encourage people to call in. It's a toll-free number. If you go to the BBS page for me, it's right there, or it's right on their main page, I think. It's 888-627-6008. And we're going to start encouraging people to call. Number one, it encourages me that there's somebody out there listening. And number two, it's nice to hear what people want to say and maybe some ideas. And if you have questions for the trivia contest, please, you know, drop them off at my website or my email, which is jhosner@aclosawalkwithyou. I'm good at coming up with questions, but you may have some better ones. And since we're going till November 30th, that's a few contests, and, you know, I may get burned out, so throw me some questions and let's see if we can keep that game going. I encourage you to go on to purposegames.com. It's a fun thing. There's nothing, you know, professional about. This is for fun, and we will have a plaque and some other things for the first place person. I'm not sure what we're going to gather. I'm just going to have to look through my trash can and find something or something. I don't know. But we'll have something, at least a plaque for the person on the first place. And we'll make it fun, you know. The whole idea of Bible trivia is that you collectively, not you personally, get used to flipping through your Bible and finding things. People, you know, I experience that people are so afraid of this thing called the Bible. It's a book. It doesn't have teeth. It will not bite you. Well, it might in a spiritual way, but it's a book. Well, and it's on your internet. You can download it on your computer, your iPod, your iPhone, your Kindle, whatever. And so that's the concept behind trivia games in general. So let's have some fun with it. I will see you all next Tuesday, where we're going to have, I think it's an open Tuesday. Let me see while I'm here with you. And, that is true. I have to take up the whole hour, so we're going to have fun. I might pull a surprise guest on you. So give us a listen next week, and I'll see you Tuesday. And till then, grace and peace.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hosner.